Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I did my first hospital visit in April of 1985. I was an elder at Grace Lutheran Church in Fayette, Iowa, and I was asked to go and see Elma. I knew Elma and Don quite well. They were part of my elder family. Don and Elma were busy people. They both worked. They loved to spend time with their children and grandchildren. And they had a cabin on the Mississippi River, which they liked to go to every weekend. So Elma and Don were also on my non-participating in church and Bible study group. When I went into Elma's hospital room, I could tell that something was wrong. She looked like one of my children standing by my bedside in the middle of the night after a bad dream or a terrible thunderstorm. As we talked, Elma told me that her cancer had returned. In the late 70s, Elma was diagnosed with breast cancer. She took treatments, and then the cancer went into remission. But now the doctor told her the cancer had returned. She said that her husband Don and her had visited with the doctor, and the doctor told her that there was nothing they could do and that her cancer was terminal. Why she wanted to see me, she said, over the years that I was their elder, I had told them about coming to worship, coming to Bible study, and how God delivers his gifts in word and sacrament, and how God delivers that gift to each and every one who attend and hear the word of God, and that God builds up our spiritual bank account. So Elma said to me, "My spiritual bank account is depleted, and I am afraid to meet God. I am afraid to meet God." In Scripture, we hear words similar to this. The thief on the cross, one of them railed at Jesus. The other one said, "Aren't you afraid of God?" The pastor to the Hebrews says, "It is fearful to fall into the hands of the living God. God destroys everything that is contrary to him. Our God is a consuming fire." And the gospel writer Luke says, "Let me give you some advice. Fear the one who after death can judge you to hell." The judgment of God. Christ's coming again, our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord, coming again to judge both the living and the dead. Luther says in the Large Catechism, this confession of ours that Jesus will come again to judge both the living and the dead is no children's message. He says, this should be taught and preached as often as we can. And so we have that opportunity this morning. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, the judgment at Christ's coming. And Paul says that day will be a day of division, a day when those who do not know God, those who do not obey the gospel, will receive the punishment of eternal destruction, total separation from God, the loss of everything. And those who believe the testimony, the word of God, the word that has become flesh and has dwelt among us, Christ himself, knowing Christ, believing in Christ, Christ will allow his glory to be placed on those who believe. Our life will be in Christ forever. And St. Paul says this will be a day of relief. The word he uses here is like a loaded spring that's released. Or like Marion told me yesterday at the care center, when she heard this text, in this word relief, she put her hands on her chest and she said, "Ah, an answer to my prayer, come Lord Jesus." But as we wait, there is tension. There is tension because when we examine ourselves, when we look into our hearts and our minds, we see nothing but sin and death. And we cannot deliver ourselves from sin and death. In sin did my mother conceive me? If God kept a record of sin, who could stand? And Scripture speaks of death as an enemy, the last enemy. The wages of sin is death. And yet everyone who calls upon the Lord will be saved. This tension between judgment and salvation. And once again, we go back to the thief on the cross to hear that tension. He says, "Aren't you afraid of God?" But in the same voice, he calls out to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And let's pause for just a moment. Think about how Jesus responds. He doesn't ask the man about his crime. He doesn't bring up repentance and forgiveness. He doesn't ask him about any other sins he's committed. He doesn't ask him about his worship life. He doesn't ask him about any guilt or shame he's still carrying. He says, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Mercy at the cross. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." And our Jesus is still the same today. He speaks to each and every one of us that he has taken upon himself all of our sins. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. He died our death, our eternal death. God raised him on the third day so that we might have life. The certainty of life not only today, but for eternity. Mercy at the cross. Our God comes to save the lost, to seek the lost, to redeem those who are broken, to those who are in sin and death. Mercy at the cross. There's a Chinese proverb that says, "The best time to plant a tree is 25 years ago. The second best time is today." The best time for Elma to have believed that God had given her new life in Christ, according to the proverb, would be 1960. The second best time, April 1985. I never asked Elma if she was afraid to meet God that day that we met, or if she was afraid to meet God at death, or if she was afraid to meet God on that day, Judgment Day. As we hear in Scripture this morning, when Jesus is revealed with his mighty angels and we have this fire and all these things that will be going on, Was that the day that Alma was afraid? I don't know. But all of those days are wrapped up in Christ's death and resurrection. In Christ's death and resurrection, he defeated sin and death. He made sin and death powerless. Powerless on April 1985. Powerless today. Powerless in death. And powerless on that day, Judgment Day. God gave Alma several more years of good life. The doctors could not explain her recovery. Alma would simply say, "To God be the glory." I learned from Alma how to share the gospel, to share our lives concerning that day. Alma was always quick to tell others how she was afraid to meet God, but how she had met God at the cross in Jesus, to know the certainty of the life that God had given to her in Christ. And her prayer was, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus." Sharing the gospel, sharing our lives. How will you this day share the gospel, share your life concerning that day? Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until that day, to life eternal. Amen.